watching me.
Okay, happy Hanukkah. We are starting on Yud-Dalet Amud Beis. We are continuing to discuss the issue of mistakenly contaminating the temple. And what we've learned is that our Mishnah taught us that unique to the various sin offerings, chataos, is the sliding scale sin offering, the chatas olav yored. And the chatas olav yored for contaminating the temple is only triggered when there was knowledge, then he forgets, does the sin, and then knowledge again. Normally, you bring a sin offering if there's knowledge at the end. You don't have to have knowledge before. But in this sin offering, there has to be knowledge before, forgetting, and then knowledge again. The Mishnah introduced a new idea that when it comes to forgetting, it's not just forgetting that he's impure. That's the simple understanding of the verses. But even if he forgets that the temple is the temple, that would also be forgetting that could obligate him in the carbon olav yored. So now the Gemara... Maybe he just, I don't know, he's blindfolded, I don't know, he's not thinking about it, maybe he's drunk, you know, he's focused on the meat. So now the question is, what is the degree of knowledge before, in terms of knowing about the temple, for it to be considered knowing before that when he was in, he was forgetting after knowing, and it wasn't just a forgetting without knowing before. So here's the question. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following. Ben Bavel, let's say you have someone from Iraq. He's never been to Israel. He doesn't know, he's never been around Israel, doesn't know what it looks like. But he heard stories about Israel. So when he was in Bavel, he heard, we have something called the Beis HaMikdash. But he had never been able to see it. And now, Shalal Eretz Yisrael, he comes into Eretz Yisrael. V'nelami menu makom mikdash. He'd never actually seen the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't know where it is. And he walks into a building not knowing that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Mahu. So what is the halacha? Is that considered knowing before and then forgetting? Or since he never really knew the location, he never knew before? So the Gemara now asks, Aliba Daman, who are you asking this question according to? If you're saying it's according to Rabbi Akiva, the Bar Yedia Betchila, who says that the carbon olav yored is only triggered when you knew before? Halo Machayv al Hela Mikdash. But Rabbi Akiva, we just said yesterday, does not obligate you to bring a carbon olav yored if you forgot that it is the temple. He only obligates you to bring a carbon olav yored if you forget that you are impure. Okay, the question is according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says you would be obligated in an olav yored if you forget that it is a temple. But halo bayadiyah betchila, Rabbi Yishmael doesn't require you to know before. He says that the carbon olav yored is like other chataos, and as long as you knew after, you'd have to bring it. Answers the Gemara, lo tzricha. I'll tell you what my question was according to. Aliba de Rabbi, according to our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi feels you need to know before in order to be obligated in olav yored. Umachayv al hela mikdash. And he says you're obligated even if you forgot that it is the temple. So now, and he said in the first chapter, Yediyah space rabbo shma yediyah. In terms of knowing before, the type of education that you'd get in elementary school is enough to know before. So what about if the elementary school is not in the land of Israel? It's in Bavel, so you don't really know what the temple is. My, so what's the halacha here? Kivan diyada di'ika mikdash ba'olam. Since he knew when he was in Bavel that there is such a thing as a temple in the world, yediyahi, that's considered knowing before, and therefore he would be obligated in the carbon olav yored. Well, Dilmar, maybe, kivan d'makomo lo yadale, since he didn't know the exact location and how the building actually looks, halamahi. So he never really knew. So therefore, take who we don't know, if you would be obligated to bring a carbon. Okay, the Mishnah said that the same way there is an obligation of sacrifice for an impure person by mistake walking into the temple, the same thing would be if the impure person by mistake would walk into the courtyard of the temple. The same thing would be if the impure person by mistake walked into the addition of the courtyard of the temple. And how would we know if the addition really is part of the courtyard? Well, as long as it would be sanctified in the right way with a king and with a prophet, and with the Sanhedrin of 71, and with two loaves of a of a carbon todah, and with song, and with the Leviim, and the Urim v'Tumim, it would be sacred. It would be added to the courtyard. Okay, Echad Anichnas LaAzara. Whether one walks into the courtyard or he walked into the addition of the courtyard, as long as it was sanctified in the right way, he has to bring the sacrifice. Minahani Mili, how do we know these things, that there is a right way of dedicating the additions? Or what is the right way to dedicate the additions? So, says the Gemara, it's based on the Pasuk. Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya answered, Damar Kra, because the Pasuk says that when Hashem told Moshe to set up the Mishkan, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham, they shall make for me a sanctuary and I will reside in their midst. K'chal Asher Ani Mara Oscha, like all that I am showing you, Estavnis HaMishkan, the form of the Mishkan, Estavnis Kol Kelav, in the form of all of its vessels. And then, after saying that that's what they should do for me, the Torah then repeats, V'chein Ta'asu, and so you shall do. So why repeat, and so you shall do? Lidoros, for all generations, whenever you want to make a temple or holy vessels, you have to do it the same way it was done in the days of Moshe. Moshe himself was a king. With Moshe you had Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol. So that means you have to have all those things. You have to have Moshe, you have to have a king, you have to have a Kohen Gadol, you have to have a Sanhedrin. You have to have Urim V'Tumim, all the things that we had then. Masiv Rava, Rava said, is that true? This verse seems to imply that both in... No, it's okay, guys. So this verse seems to imply that both in regards to the... both in regards to a temple or to the vessels of the temple, it has to be done the same way it was made originally. Masiv Rava, but Rava challenged, what about the vessels? We learned... Kol hakeli in a brisa, kol hakelim shasa Moshe, the holy vessels of the Mishkan that Moshe made, mishichasan mekadshasan. What made them holy was anointing them with the special oil, shemen hamishcha, mikan ve'elach. But the vessels later in time, namely the vessels of the second temple, avodasan mechanchasan. What made them holy was their service, serving them. Or using them was what made them holy. V'amai, now why is this so? V'neima, why don't we say, V'chein ta'asu l'doros? That the verse, and so you shall do, would mean that in all generations, the vessels have to be made holy the same way with anointing oil. Answers the Gemara, about vessels, it's different. Shiny hasam there, it's different. Damar krak, because the verse says about the vessels that Moshe made, V'yim shachem, he anointed them, V'yikadesh osam, and he consecrated them. Once it says he anointed them, why do you have to say again? And he anointed them. So that's to say, he made them holy. Osam b'mashicha. They're the ones made holy by anointing. V'lo l'doros b'mashicha. But in future generations, it's not anointing that's going to make them holy. It's service that'll make them holy. Ema, why don't you say, osam b'mashicha. They are made holy through anointing. L'doros. In all generations. Sorry, but in all generations. It's an option. Either you can anoint them or you need to do the service. But only them have to be exclusively with anointing. So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa answered, the Pasuk also says that the service alone is enough. Because the Pasuk says, Amar Kra, Asher Yishar Subam Bakodesh, that they will serve with them in the holy. Slana Kasub B'Sheiros, the Torah is saying that what's going to make them holy is their service. One second. Asher Dechsev Kasav Rachman Asher Yishar Su. Asher Yishar Subamba Kodesh, once the Torah is going to say the vessels that they will use in the holy, that the usage is what makes them holy. So Osam Lamali, why do I have another verse that had to tell me that those, the original vessels, had to be done with the anointing? So my answer is, Elo Kasa Rahmana Osam, if we wouldn't have said the word then, Hava Mina Hani Hudra Mashicha. The original ones had to be with anointing. But Lidoros, but in future generations, it's the Mashicha Uba Avoda. It has to be anointing plus. It has to be service. Because it says you shall do in the future as you did originally. That's why miyet rachmana osam, that's what the Torah has to say. Them, as an exclusion, osam b'mashicha, v'lo l'doros b'mashicha. Them with anointing, but future generations are not with anointing, they are just with service. So the bottom line is, How do we know that the temple's additions have to be done in this way? Because it says v'chein ta'asu. That would imply even the vessels should be done exactly the way they were done originally. But in regards to the vessels, there are two verses. One says osam, they are the ones who are anointed. And the other one says that later vessels are sanctified with service, that the verse says, Ayishar Yishar Subam Bakodesh.
How do they, the vessels, how did they do? They put oil on it?
Originally, they put the anointing oil on it, and then later, they just used them. They would make them gold.
They take a cloth and put stick it in oil, and then...
They would use fingers. They would use their fingers. They would smear a V with the oil. Or an X with the oil, or gamma with the oil sometimes. But the later, once we didn't have the oil, they used to just do the service. They would make the gold vessel and then start using it, catch blood with it, walk with it. Avodasa mechan chasim, the usage of the service is what makes them consecrated. So now, the Mishnah says that the sanctification of Jerusalem, expanding the size of Jerusalem, is accomplished b'shtei todos, with two loaves of bread from a carbon toda. As we know, a carbon toda actually has 40 loaves. 10 loaves are chametz, and 30 loaves are different types of matzah. Tana, we learned in a braisa, shtei todos shamar, when we talk about the two todos of sanctifying Jerusalem, it's bilachman. It means two loaves. A loaf of sarin. It doesn't mean two animals that are karbanos toda. Minan imili, how do we know this? So the source of this is a pasuk in Ezra. Rav Chizda said, Amar Kar, the pasuk says in Ezra, that when Ezra expanded Jerusalem, and he sanctified the expansion, V'amida shtei todos gedolos, and I stood up two big todos, V'taluchos, and a whole procession, Liyamin on the right, Me'alachoma above the wall. So my gedolos, what does it mean, two big todos? Ilimimin gadol. If it means, big animals, a big animal tota, in other words, big bulls and not sheep. So the Gemara says, we mean gadol mamish, literally a big type. The name of Parim, just say bulls. That's the biggest type of carbon. So why say big totos? Elagdolos biminan. So it must mean not that they are the biggest, not that they're bulls, but it means big bulls. Amongst the bulls, big bulls. Who cares about that? Does God care if it's a bigger bull or a smaller bull? About time we learned in a braisa. It says about an ola of an animal, it's going to be a nice smell to Hashem. It's a burnt offering that gives Hashem a nice smell. Ola sa'of, it says in terms of the ola sa'of, it's something burned which gives a nice smell to Hashem. It says about a mincha, an offering of flour and oil. It's burned and it gives a nice smell to Hashem. So why does it say the same phrase in each of these things? Malamit to teach you, whether you give something big, you give something small. Hashem loves it all. As long as your heart is truly devoted to your Father in heaven. So what does it mean big? Ela gedola shebatoda. Big amongst the loaves of the toda. Because when you bring the toda, you bring 40 loaves. Of those loaves, 30 are matzos and 10 are chametz. So what's bigger, chametz or matzah? Chametz is bigger. It's inflated. So my new chametz, it means two chametz loaves. The Tanya, as we learned in the Mishnah, of the 10 loaves. Okay. Hatoda isaba min chamesh sa'in Yerushalmios. The toda's loaves were produced with 5 sa'in in the Yerushalmi measurements of flour, which were bigger measurements. Shein sheish midbarios, which are 6 measures of the midbarios sa'in, which is a total of shtei ephos, 2 ephos. Ha'efa, an ephah is shalosh sa'in, is 3 sa'in. So that's 2 ephahs is a total of 6 sa'in, right? Now, how big is an ephah? Esr misaron. There are a total here of 20 esronos, because each ephah has 10 esronim. Now, asara l'chametz, full 10 esronim create the 10 chametz loaves. V'asara, the other 10 esronim, create 30 matzah loaves, l'matzah. The matzah shalosh minim. When it comes to the matzah, you get three loaves, three different types of loaves out of each isaron. Whereas you get chalos, rekikin, and revucha. Whereas in regards to the chametz, one isaron creates a whole loaf. So what's bigger? The chametz loaves are much bigger. First of all, the chametz inflates. Plus, they're using three times the amount of flour for each chametz loaf than they were using for each matzah loaf. So when the verse says that Ezra used the big todos, it's referring to the big loaves of chametz. Okay, so that's in terms of sanctifying Jerusalem. To sanctify Jerusalem, they would walk around with two loaves of the toda, of the chametz part of the toda. What's the idea? You can only eat the loaf of the toda in Jerusalem. So you would walk around with that which you could only eat in Jerusalem to say, this is now part of Jerusalem, I can eat it here, but I can't eat it beyond this. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there were other things that you would eat. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Eina Azara Miskadesh, when you want to increase the size of the courtyard of the temple, you wouldn't use loaves of Lachme Toda, because Toda can be eaten anywhere in Jerusalem. Rather, you would use a regular Karban Mincha, B'Shiyare Mincha, the leftovers of a Mincha. In other words, whenever somebody brings a Karban Mincha, say he brings a bowl of flour with oil, the Kohen mixes it, he takes a fistful, he puts some salt on the fistful, he throws it into the fires of the Mizbeach, and then the bowl of the flour and oil comes down, and the Kohanim bake it, and they eat it in the Azara. So the Shiare Mincha is what's eaten in the Azara, it can't be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what would be walked around to increase the size of the Azara. So Amar Rami Bar Chama in Azara Miskadash Shal B'Shiare Mincha, with leftovers of a Mincha. My timer, because it has to be Ki Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim, just like Yerushalayim, gets sanctified with Davar HaNechal Ba, with things eaten in it, namely loaves of a Toda. So too, Davar HaNechal Ba Mekadsha, what's eaten in it is what sanctifies it. Afazara, so to the temple, Davar HaNechal Ba Mekadsha, something eaten in it is what sanctifies it. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Atulach me toda bazar milo misachli. Can't you eat the loaves of a toda in the Beis HaMikdash too? So okay, you're right, you could, but you could eat it also in Yerushalayim. Elok Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash has to be like Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim davar nechal ba, and yotzim imena nifsal, just like Yerushalayim becomes sanctified with that which can be eaten in it, and that which once it's taken out of it is no longer edible. Afazara davar nechal ba, vayotzim imena nifsal. So to the Beis HaMikdash, get sanctified by walking around with something which can be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, and the moment you go out of the Beis HaMikdash, it would become disqualified, which is pieces of a mincha. One second, if you're comparing Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash, so say like this, Yerushalayim was sanctified by loaves of chametz, afkan chametz, so to the Beis HaMikdash should be sanctified by walking around with pieces of chametz. So what do you mean? How can you say that? The Tizbra, can you think that? Minchas chametz mi'itza, mi'ika, there's no such thing as a mincha which is chametz. The Torah says, kichol sa'ar v'chol dvash, lo satiri menu ishel Hashem. You can't offer something which was made into chametz onto the altar. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, d'machmetz l'lishi raim v'makadish b'hu, that maybe what you can't put into the fire can't be chametz. But the leftovers of the mincha can be made into chametz. So you say, we'll take the piece of flour, throw it into the fire, and then the leftovers will allow to become chametz, and once it's chametz, we'll walk around with it to sanctify the addition to the temple. You can't say that, v'aksiv, but the verse says, lo se'afeh chametz, don't bake the mincha chametz, chelkam nasati osame ishai, the portion that I gave to the Kohanim from that which I burned. Amrei Shlakish explains, afilu chelkam, even the portion given to the Kohanim, lo se'afe chametz can't be baked chametz, can't be made chametz. Maybe yes. Alamalo, but why not? Why can't we say that what sanctifies the temple will be something made of chametz? There is a chametz offering, and that is on Shavuos. On Shavuos, there's something called shtei alechem, the two loaves of bread. The two loaves of bread, they are baked on Erev Shavuos. And yes, this is a unique Karban Mincha, which is Chametz. and brought on Shavuos. So maybe after the Mekadosh B'shtei Alechem Ba'atzeres, the way to sanctify the additions to the temple would be with the loaves of the two breads made from the new grain that are brought on Shavuos. The Gemara says that's not possible. Mishum de lo efshi. You couldn't sanctify the temple with those loaves. Because hechi nevid, what are you proposing that we do? Nivnaya me esmo, let's build this addition to the courtyard of the temple yesterday on Erev Shavuos. V'nikachi me esmo, and walk around with the loaves. Shtei alechem b'shchitas kfasim hudakachi. The two loaves are not really holy with the intrinsic holiness until the sheep of Shavuos are slaughtered, which is Yom Tov. Nivnaya me esmo, build it on Erev Yom Tov. V'nikachi itna, and then today, on Shavuos, walk around with these loaves. Be'in on Kiddush b'shas abinyan. It can't be done that way, because the moment that you build it, you have to sanctify it. Nipnaya b'yom tov v'nikatcha b'yom tov. Build it on Yom Tov and sanctify it on Yom Tov. Ein binyan mikdash docha Yom Tov. You're not allowed to build a temple on Yom Tov. Nishabka l'basar hachi. Let's say have the loaves, and right after, in the next day, walk around with these loaves. And the next day, after Shavuos, Nivnaya will build the addition to the temple, Vinikachi, and sanctify it. If Slalei Belina, but then the loaves are disqualified because they become Nosa. They've been left over too long. Nivnaya Mimali Yoma, let's build it, let's say, before Yom Tov. Nishayer Bar Purta, let's leave a little bit so it's not fully finished. Da'ad Kadosh Yoma, and the minute that Yom Tov ends, Nigmrei will just finish it, Vinikachi, and then walk around with the loaves to sanctify it. No, ain't binyan Beis HaMikdash b'layla. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash at night. Amar Abayas, Abayas said, "Minayin chain binyan beis hamikdash b'layla." I don't know. You can't build a temple at night. Shenemar, because the verse says, "V'yom akim es hamishkan," and the day they are to establish the mishkan. But yom akimo b'layla, ein akimo. You put it up by day. You don't put it up at night. So therefore, hilkach lo efshar. So we don't have any possibility. We don't have any possibility of using chametz to sanctify the temple. So therefore, we can't expand the temple with chametz. But we know we have to expand the temple the same way we would expand Jerusalem. And we saw in the Navi Ezra that Jerusalem was expanded with something, with a loaf, with the Todah. So that was expanded with chametz. This would be expanded with the pieces of a mincha, which are not chametz. We're going to see. Tomorrow we'll talk about that. But it could be, there's going to be an argument tomorrow. It could be that you didn't really need to do this in Bayis Sheni because Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asad Lavo. Or maybe you don't need all of them, you just need one of the things. You may not need Navi, Melech, Kohen Gadol, and Sanhedrin. Just Sanhedrin could be is enough. So we'll see that tomorrow.
But with all this cooking and baking and burning, it must have smelled really good in Beit HaMikdash.
It did. Oh, it's the best smell in the world.
Yeah.
We're waiting for it soon. There's Rat Hashem. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, the Mishnah said that to sanctify Jerusalem, there was a shir, there was a song. Tana Rabbanan, what was the song to expand Jerusalem or to expand the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? You looked at a brisa, Tana Rabbanan. What would they say? Shir Shel Toda. They used to say Mizmor L'Soda, chapter 100 of Tehillim. Bikinoros u'benevalim u'vetzilzalim, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals that the Leviim used to play. Al kol pina opina for every corner of Al kol Evan Gedolah Shem Yerushalayim, and on every large stone in Jerusalem. In addition, V'Omer, they also used to say, chapter 30 of Tehillim, Aramim Hashem Kidi Lisani. In addition, they used to say chapter 91 of Tehillim, which is called Yoshe B'Seser Elyon, but our Brisa calls it Shir Shel Pegayim, the song against damage. Yesh Omrim, some call it Shir Shel Negayim, the song against plagues. Manda Amar, the one who calls it the song against plagues, the Negayim, because the verse says in that chapter 91, V'nega lo yikrav ba'alecha, that a plague won't come close to your tent. Manda Amar Pegayim, the one who calls it the song of protection against damage, because it says, Yipo mitzidcha, elef, they'll fall from your side 1,000, or above aminecha, 10,000 from your right, and lecha lo yigash, and yet the damager won't be able to step close to you. For Omer, and that verse, that chapter begins with, Yoshe b'seisir elyon, he who sits alone in the hidden recesses, betzel shaddai yislonan, he would start from there, add until Kiyata Hashem Machsi, you God are my shelter, Elyon above Samta Ma'onecha, you placed your residence. And then again, he would say, Mizmor le David bevarchem mipnei Avshalom b'no, a song to David when he ran away from Avshalom his son. Hashem Rabu Tzarai, God, how many are my enemies? Ad la Hashem Yeshua Lam Chaver Chasecha Sela, until to God is the salvation for your nation. May they be blessed forever. Now, a story. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Lulani Kroy. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to say chapter 91 of Tehillim, the Gani, and then go to sleep, because what a great chapter. Hashem should protect you from damages. Asks the Gemara, Eichi Avirachi, how could you do that? Vamar, but didn't we learn back in Masechta Sanhedrin that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself says, also this rappels b'divrei Torah, you're not allowed to disrespect Torah. You can't use words of Torah to heal yourself. So Gemara says, no, lahagin shani, you're allowed to use words of Torah to protect yourself from damage. So when did he say you're not allowed to use words of Torah? But ikamak, if there is a plague, and to spit on the and to when there's a plague, then you can't use the verses to. I'm sorry, when there's a wound to heal your wound. It's like Mary asked, ibid ikamak, if there's a wound, aser, it's not allowed. The sulo, but other cases are allowed. But then, but we looked at a Mishnah. I'm sorry, is it just not allowed? It's much worse than that. But the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Alochish alamaka, if a person says a charm over a wound, ein lo chilek olam haba, he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. So the Gemara answers, that's if he spits. Hayit mar Allah, we learned about that, the number of Yochanan. Berokik shanu, if a person spits into the wound, and then he says, some pasuk, he loses his portion in the world to come, because he's disrespecting the pasuk, l'fishein maskim shem shemayim ala rakika. You should not mention the name of God together with spitting. What Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying, even without spitting, it's not right to use a pasuk to try to heal. But that's not what's going on here. Here he's using a pasuk to be protected from getting damaged in the first place. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah, Bezdin Mahalchin, the Bezdin would walk, which they told us Achrehen with the two loaves behind them. The Memra, does that mean to say the Bezdin Kamei Toda Azli, the Bezdin would walk in front and in front of the Todos? Vaksib, but the verse says in Nehemiah, that they walked after the Todos, Hoshaya and half of the leaders of Yehuda. Answer the Gemara, this is what it means. Bezdin Mahalchin, Bezdin walks. Shtei Todos Mahalchos, and the two loaves walk first. Bezdin Achrayim, Bezdin is after the two loaves. Ketzer Mahalchos, how do they walk with the loaves to expand Jerusalem? Rabbi Chiya Nubishim, Rabbi said, Chadamar once said, Zokenegadzu, the two loaves would be next to each other, side by side. One said one after the other. If they walk two side by side, so when the Mishnah said that the inner that there's a difference between what happens with the inner one and the outer one is eaten, the outer one is burned. The inner one means the one closest to the wall. The one who says that the two loaves are one after the other, the inner one is the one that's closer to the Bezdin. Okay, we'll stop here.